This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm talking with Chris, the drummer for Body Snatcher. They're going to be releasing a new album called Bleed Abide, April 22nd. And it's going to be out, I believe, your first one on Monarch Heavy. Is that right?
Yeah. Our first like full album on Monarch. We did some singles and stuff last year throughout COVID. But yeah, this is the first full album.
That's awesome, man. So you guys going to probably by the time you hear this, the album will be out. So you can stream it now. You can pick up the album. You can order it. So I'm curious, it looks like you're at home right now, or are you currently now at home? Cool.
Yeah. We leave for tour in like 10 days.
Nice, dude. So are you kind of like soaking in as much relaxation time as you can?
Yeah, a little bit. We were just in the UK. So we've been home for like, I don't know, about 2 weeks right now. So we had like 3 weeks off in between tours.
So there was that time period now, which seems like almost a distant memory, where everything was just, you know, silent. People were just, you know, staying home, either recording music or working their mundane day jobs, or just, you know, staying home and quarantining and whatnot. Has it been a trip to readjust back to what your life was like?
Dude, we did a US tour, a headline tour in October, November of 2021. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's almost 2 years after our previous tour.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been playing shows since I was 15, and I'm pretty old now. So, but going that long without playing a show, the level of actual stage fright, not really fright, but like nervousness to play a show was absolutely unreal. Like something I don't remember ever feeling, you know, and getting back on stage was, the first week was very hard. It was a huge adjustment week.
Oh, I would imagine.
But after that, then you're just like, hell yeah, bitch, let's go. you know what I mean? It's like everything, you know, after you get a weekend, everything just feels like you're riding a bike again. And it's awesome. I don't know. Those 2 years it sucked. It really sucked.
So I'm assuming this album was written during that time?
Yeah. So basically, we right before COVID hit, we put out a record, and we were on our album.
Great timing, right?
Yeah, we were on our album release tour while everything from COVID was starting to pop up. So our tour was the last tour a lot of people got to see, actually, because it ended in March of 2020.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was very good. But so while we were on that tour, we had people from Monarch show up to our show in Brooklyn, and they kind of started talking to us, and, you know, we got each other's contacts and stuff. And during like that first month of COVID, nobody knew how long it was going to be. You know what I mean? Like nobody knew that this was going to be more than a month off. Mm-hmm. So once we knew that, I contacted our manager and the label, and I was like, hey, since we don't know how long this is going to be, can we just like start writing songs and releasing singles? And he was like, what do you mean? I was like not have these songs be on a record. Like, yeah. let's just put out singles with music videos as often as they'll let us, you know? Mm-hmm. So we were putting out, we put out like 5 singles, yeah, over the course of that time period. And everyone thought we had this album coming out, which we were working on a record, but we were also recording these singles separately, yeah, you know? And so, yeah, we've had this record done since about October. So almost a year, we finished the record almost a year ago. But we just wanted to make sure when the album came out that we were able to tour, you know, we wanted it to come out when things were kind of opening back up.
Good timing. So, you know, going back, you know, to, you know, those times when, you know, you couldn't tour, and yeah, how did you stay sane? You know, how did you said you've toured since 15.
Yeah. I picked up running.
Okay.
I've always kind of like worked out, but mm-hmm. nothing like super serious.
Yeah.
But I picked up running, and within 8 months I did a half marathon. And so I don't know, I started taking that pretty serious, but I also run a recording studio. So I stayed pretty busy. I do a lot of just like mixing, mastering work. So bands nowadays have plenty of means to record themselves. You know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. not all of them can make it sound good. So I stayed at 2020. I was actually extremely busy because everyone was getting the checks, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I stayed pretty busy in 2020.
Nice. Okay. So you're running, you're staying in shape, you're keeping cardio for when you go back on tour.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. So I'm curious about kind of like you said, you first started playing music at 15. What was your entryway into underground extreme music? Cause not everyone started with like a Metallica CD. I started with like a No Doubt CD, and then I got into punk, and then I got into hardcore, and then I got into metal. So it was like a gradual kind of like
incline. Oh yeah, me too, actually. So when I was like, my whole family plays music. All my grandparents on my mom's side are piano instructors and chorus instructors, like for their job. And so I was around music a lot when I was a kid, mm-hmm. but I started skateboarding when I was like, in, I don't know, third grade or fourth grade or something.
Nice. Yeah.
So like, yeah, same thing. I was really into No Doubt. I was really into like The Offspring, yep. and, you know, stuff like that. And then when Korn came out, I was like, what is this? You know, and then Slipknot came out, and that first Slipknot album, I remember when Wait and Bleed came out, and I saw that video on mm-hmm. MTV. I was like, oh my God. And I had a brother who's 3 years older than me. So he really got into that stuff because he was a little older than me. So he started playing music. And then my freshman year, he had started a band, and he was like, hey, you got to learn how to play drums. And I was like, okay. So he just like sent me a video of this dude playing the songs that they wrote who wasn't in the band anymore. And I just mm-hmm. studied this video when I was in freshman year and learned how to play these songs, and then played a show 2 weeks later.
Yeah. Dude, that's all okay. That's like super DIY. That's like very punk, you know, just like here's some instrument, learn it, dude.
Yeah, everyone. So here there's the scene here was like it was very DIY. I mean, I remember
awesome.
Flying for shows my whole life, you know, and we had a skate park here. We had shows at the skate park every Friday, shows at this place called the Crystal Ballroom every Saturday. Cool. And it was all local stuff. And it's just, you know, there'd be like 150 kids every single weekend. It was, yep. it was awesome.
That's cool, man. So, okay. So then, you know, you get into heavier and heavier stuff. And what was your first band like that you were proud of?
Is it Body Snatcher? No. I was in a band called King Conqueror before this.
Oh, I know King Conqueror. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So that was like the main band that actually did stuff. And, you know, that was a serious band. We toured a lot all over the place.
I think you guys played at Studio 7 in Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was like one of our favorite spots to play.
RIP Studio 7. Yeah.
Yeah. But so like throughout high school, what was King Conquer was, you know, it was just a different band when we were in high school, you know. Yeah. And, you know, there was a huge punk scene down here, like Against Me was from my town.
Oh, yeah.
And back then, I remember the first time I saw
Against Gainesville. Me.
No,
okay.
They say they're from Gainesville,
but they're not. But
before they moved to Gainesville, they're from Naples. But the first time I saw them, it was just a dude playing on buckets and a dude with an acoustic guitar.
Super folk punk. Yep.
So awesome. Yeah, dude. And that band is still so good. They're still one of my favorite bands. So there's a big punk scene down here. A big pop punk scene later on through high school. So like I'd say 2005, the pop punk scene down here got really big. But down here we did mixed genre shows and everybody was all about the like hardcore, you know, deathcore wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't even been thought of yet. And you know, I remember seeing bands like, you know, With Honor and Where Fear and Weapons Meet and Dead to Fall and like the more metal side of the hardcore started happening.
Dude, that breakdown in the Bastard Set of Dreams.
Oh my God. Yeah. I still listen to that album.
So good.
Like Remember Never and Until the End. Like those are, if living in Florida, you just saw those bands, you know, all the time. It was so awesome.
Okay.
So
did you ever see the band Implosive Disgorgence?
Dude, I toured with that band. Love that band.
They're a band,
the heaviest band. Like
I discovered on MySpace. Yeah. I follow them on Instagram. They're not very active. Apparently, they're still a band. I want to see them super bad.
But they're supposed to do something.
They're just this small MySpace core band that I was just, I really wanted, like that first demo.
Mm-hmm. Dude, they had, I mean, that was like before slams and the more core side were popular. Mm-hmm. But they were already doing it and they still did it better than what bands now are doing.
Yep.
That band is so fucking heavy. It's crazy.
Sick, dude. Yeah, I'm glad we could give a shout out to Implosive Disgorgence. Yep, check out that band if you're listening and you're like,
I think they just put that record up on YouTube, actually. Oh, somebody posted it like 2 days ago. That's so crazy that you bring that up. Yeah.
That was that band. And then there was a band called Misericordium from Las Vegas that was super brutal too. That similar style.
My singer has a lot of their merch. Yeah.
God damn, dude.
Yeah. He has a storage unit filled with old bands like that. Like I'm talking, he has like thousands, probably thousands of shirts of old MySpace.
Damn. This guy needs a Depop store.
Oh, he's got one. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. those CDs, for believe it or not, those CDs from those bands are worth a lot of money.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
It's wild. We're getting deep into the wormhole here, but you know, I'm curious to you because for a little while the term deathcore was kind of like almost deemed an insult in certain circles, but now there's like a renaissance, it seems like, and they've shed that, like, you know, that like layer of it being a bad thing. How do you feel about that, man?
It's definitely
kind of cool.
At first it wasn't like a bad thing really, and then it started to become one, you know what I mean? Because at first it was just like dudes that were in hardcore bands were like, oh, this is heavier. Let's
play some Dying Fetus riffs.
Yeah, that was like how it all started. Yeah. So it was all creditable dudes in the scene that started playing heavier music, you know? And then it got to a point where like they were like, oh, I'm a hardcore dude. I don't want to be called deathcore because that's lame, you know. But also
They were like, I'm a death metal dude. I don't want to be called. It was either way, you know.
Exactly. So. That was like, I remember I'll get it back into that. anyways, but a bunch of bands started coming out that stopped involving the hardcore side. You know what I mean? So deathcore did kind of get lame for a little while. It didn't get lame, but it got like
away from its roots.
It wasn't as like, one, the lyrics, a lot of bands stopped speaking about serious matters or emotional matters.
Yeah.
And that was what was cool about deathcore to begin with, is like at first it was like dudes that would normally sing in hardcore bands writing lyrics that would normally go to a hardcore band lyrics for this more metal side. So then a lot of bands started talking about, you know, fake subjects that they would make up you know sure. what I mean? Which yeah, like, whatever, yeah. that's cool if you're into that stuff. But, and then it became more of like a shred fest instead of like a violent, aggressive genre. Mm-hmm. And I mean, with Body Snatcher, that's, if we're going to be called deathcore, we want people to know that we don't give a shit if we're called deathcore, yeah, because we're making deathcore that is like, in our eyes, the way it was supposed to be.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's supposed to be angry. It's supposed to be emotional, and it's supposed to be f-ing heavy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So with this, you know, hindsight, and like, it's probably almost coming up on 20 years almost of like being able to like, you know, say that term almost.
Yeah,
right.
It's so crazy. Yeah.
So we all know the big four of thrash, American thrash, Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax, Metallica. In yeah. your opinion, what's Oof. Your personal big four of deathcore?
Oh, so the let's see, I gotta think of years no in my problem. Head right now.
And this is a personal one. This, it doesn't have to be a political answer where you have to include
I would say Through the Acid of the Dead was a deathcore band before anyone yeah. knew what deathcore was. This is like 2004, I think.
Yeah, on their Love Lost records. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. And then I would say the very first All Shall Perish record before Eddie was in the band, the Hate Malice Revenge.
Okay.
And then you just have to put Whitechapel and Suicide Silence.
Mm-hmm. They Suicide Silence. I'm excited to hear what they got coming out, because they just recorded a new album with Taylor Young from really? God's Hate and Nails. So that's, I feel like
sick.
I feel like he's gonna add a little bit more grit to that. So
oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So
I did not know that.
I'm stoked to hear that. Okay, so we got All Shall Perish, original All Shall Perish lineup. We got One Dead Through. What, no, you said through the eyes of the dead. Not One Dead Through Wounded.
Yeah,
they're good though. And Suicide Silence and Whitechapel sounds good.
Yeah,
awesome, man. Okay, so now that we're talking super nerdy genre stuff, there's also been a resurgence and a comfortability about allowing people to know that we like new metal. So for a while there, because you mentioned Korn and you know getting into that stuff, I did too. And I was really in new metal, but there was a while there when, you know, you're trying to be cool and hardcore and metal.
Oh, yeah.
You don't mention it. But now these days.
When I was in high school, I was like, no, I don't like that stuff. You know.
Now it's super, it's almost canon, that stuff. And so we see bands like Dying Wish getting added to a Limp Bizkit tour.
Which is crazy. It's so awesome.
So what's your opinion of that? Like about new metal being, you know, reintegrated into this sound?
Dude, I literally texted our manager yesterday and I was like, that Kitty reunion tour, get us on it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because like, who cares, man?
Yeah,
People that like heavy music, especially so people that haven't found the more underground side yet. If you play, like if our band was to play in front of a more mainstream crowd that's into music, like say Kitty or Korn or something like that, they would love our band.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's like, so why are you going to shy away from that? I get that a lot of people in the underground scene might not be into that stuff, but I don't know. I'm all about like tours that mend genres, especially if it's all different sides of the heavy of the heavy world. It's just going to help grow heavy music as a whole.
And I mean, everyone needs a gateway, dude. And we were mentioning, you know, kind of, and 2002, I think, or so, when Tool put out Lateralis, I saw Meshuggah open for them.
Which is so sick. Yeah.
I wasn't quite ready for it at that point, but I was also just interested. And so that got me rolling with like, oh, it's been Meshuggah, you know? So it's got to be a gateway, you know? So it's all about that. You're wearing a Walls of Jericho shirt. They toured with Family Values.
Yeah. They played tons of huge fests like that with so many different kinds of bands.
Absolutely.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Cool, man. Well, okay. So you guys are all about the crowd participation. You get to a body snatcher show, sometimes it's safer to be in the pit than on the sides of the pit. When personally, I know you're a fit dude, you're running all the time. When was the last time you personally were in a pit, a mosh or bean mosh situation? When was the last time you moshed?
Last time I moshed was on our headline tour in 2020, right before COVID. One of my friends had just started a new band, and they, in my opinion, were the most aggressive heavy band to come out in the last 10 years. They're not a band anymore, but they were on like 5 days of our tour. And the last day that they were with us, I moshed, and yeah, it was awesome. It was a band called Strangled.
Strangled?
Yeah.
Okay. From Florida?
No, they're from Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, listen to them. They are the most aggressive band to come out in the last 10 years, but Strangled. They broke up already. Yeah.
All right, man. So you're super into, you know, you were mentioning kind of like super aggressive, you know, super punishing, super brutal stuff. If it, your band personally, but what kind of stuff are you into that might surprise the average body snatcher fan? Is there something that you're like, I like Sade, or I like Portishead, you
know, something like that? I honestly like, just because I'm a producer, I like so many sides of music. Like, I love like electronic funk stuff. Cool. Like I don't know if you ever heard of Big Gigantic or Grizz.
I've never heard of them.
It's very, very like funk driven electronic music. I love cool. stuff like that. I also like, there's two dudes called Cherub, like mm-hmm. them a lot.
Okay.
But then I'm also really into like the early 2000s emo mm-hmm. pop punk stuff. Like Taking Back Sunday is one of my favorite bands.
You going to be at When We Were Young Festival?
I wish. We're going to be on tour.
Okay.
One of my friends got 4 tickets for it, and I'm like, dude, I can't go.
I'm curious to see what the reaction is like when Knocked Loose plays, and a bunch of like us old people are like, my knees.
I think people are gonna be all about it.
Okay.
I think it's gonna be really hard to see everyone you want to see.
Oh yeah. Are they gonna have like a rotating stage and everyone plays one song, like I Heart Music Festival or something?
I don't know. That would be sick, actually.
Just play the song, play the single.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that reminds me. I saw Jimmy World in college, and they were drunk frat dudes in the front row that were taunting the singer the whole time, yelling, "Play the singles!
Oh,
play
my
the
God.
Middle!" And it was silent aside from these dudes. So awkward.
That was a big thing back then, where like bands like that would go play college campuses. That doesn't happen very often.
No, not too often.
I remember
no.
I saw, who was it? A Hoobastank, I think, at a college
nice.
Campus.
Okay.
In that one band that totally got canceled, Lost Prophets.
Yikes. Yes, yeah. That for good reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that band got canceled before getting canceled was a thing.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Damn, dude. Okay. Looking back, you know, you were mentioning that a member of your band has thousands of t-shirts. You probably have a sick collection, but what was your first band t-shirt when you were a kid?
Probably a local band of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, no. I remember my first real concert. I was in either sixth grade or seventh grade, and I saw Seven Dust.
Oh, nice, dude.
And dude, I remember they had these, so where your monitors are on stage, they mm-hmm. had these trampolines that were angled back. So they would jump on it and they'd come back into the stage and their guitars would hit the ground. And I thought it was like the sickest thing I ever saw in my life. And I've never dude. Seen anybody do that ever again.
Move over ego box. We're going trampolines.
Yeah. It was so f-ing sick.
Holy shit. That is, I thought you were going to say people were stage diving off the trampolines, but
no, it was like they were using the trampolines to jump backwards. You know what damn. I mean?
Acrobatic on stage for Seven Dust. Who would have thought, man? And they're still going. That is one band that I will say they never got to the height of heights, but I think that they've been consistently good.
And they never got like they were always like a band that was like heavy, but they were mainstream and they never got less heavy. They always mm-hmm. stayed like they always stayed true to themselves, which is awesome.
And their singer LeJon has like one of the best voices in heavy rock.
Oh yeah. Yep. I agree.
Awesome. Cool, man. Well, you know, I'm curious about what is the worst live show you've ever played? Cause I'm sure, you know, growing up in a DIY scene, you probably played some sparse shows. What's one that really takes a cake for the worst?
One, oh man. It's so weird to think about. Cause like,
cause you play great shows now.
I'm sure there was like, I mean, when King Conqueror was touring, there was a lot of bad shows, yeah. like shows where you're just like, damn, we should just play three songs tonight. You know, we didn't, but, yeah. Man, there was one show I remember that was just, it was like, so if it's a small venue and there's not a lot of people there, it's not a big deal. Yeah. You know what I mean? But there was one time we played Harpo's in Detroit and that's like an 8 foot tall stage. Okay. It's like, I don't know. My memory is pretty foggy, but I'm pretty sure it's like an 800 cap venue. It's a very big
place.
Yeah. So if you've ever seen the Hatebreed DVD, that's where they filmed the Hatebreed.
Oh,
DVD.
Wow. Okay.
All right, so I think there was like 50 or 60 people paid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like 50 people can't even fill the in front of the stage.
Yeah.
You know? And I just remember being like, wow, this is so awkward. And that was with King Conqueror. And the crazy part was like, that was a sick tour too. That was like As Blood Runs Black and Thick as Blood. And
yeah,
like that was a good tour, but there was just nobody at that show. I don't know.
Damn, dude. You're like, can we play in the lobby? Like,
yeah. Oh, we, and even now with Body Snatcher, we, the last tour, we had one of the shows sold out because we were in a small room and they asked us if we wanted to switch shows because there was another show going on in the other room. Yeah. But
ours had Fun House in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're in Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my radio shows in Seattle. So,
oh, sick. So that night on the last tour we did with Left mm-hmm. to Suffer and stuff.
Yeah.
They asked us if we wanted to swap rooms. I was like, absolutely not. I love that small spot. Yep.
You're in a pit to survive situation there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I like that little, I mean, I like the,
yeah,
I like the big spot too, but the fun house is just, I don't know. It's chaotic and fun. I like it.
Absolutely, man. So again, I'm chatting with Chris from Body Snatcher. Bleed Abide is available now on Monarch Heavy. Before I ask you the last question, I'm curious, if someone can't make it out to your tour, maybe they got kids they got to take care of, you know, working or whatever, what's the best way to support you guys?
The best way to like actually support us as individuals, like if it would help us make any funds is from our actual Body Snatcher official website. Awesome. So all the merch that's sold on that website, it's printed and shipped from, I mean, a state way far away from us, but the profits from that, we actually see those profits.
It's controlled by you guys. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's controlled by the merch company, but we actually get paid from that. But also ordering the album, getting album sales up, mm-hmm. even though that all goes towards paying back like our what we get fronted from the label, any album sales helps us get better tours. Like the higher amount of albums we sell, the bigger and better tours that we get acknowledged for, you know.
You can see from the back, I'm one of those weirdos that still buys CDs, so I'll be getting this.
Awesome. Yeah. And the first dude, we just spent a full day signing CD booklets before they get sealed into the nice. CDs. So the That's first awesome. 1,000 CDs that get sold, have our signatures on them sealed in the package.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very sick.
Awesome. So order that again from Monarch Heavy. But my last question for you, dude, all your years of touring, you know, working out, doing all kinds of wild stuff, I'm sure you get into, pick a scar on your body. Show us if you can, or at least tell us the story of how you got the scar.
One story I cannot tell.
Okay.
Because it's a...
Don't want to incriminate you law-wise.
I could get in trouble. I have a... Oh, man, let's see. I got one that's a big one that happened when I was a baby that's not really that cool. It's just iron fell on my hand when I was a kid. I have a scar like right on my pelvic line.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't need to show it.
I won't. But so when King Conquer was on tour, I forget what year it was, but basically I got staph infection. I didn't know it was staph infection, and I like started getting this crazy fever, mm-hmm. and I went to an emergency room on tour, and the guy was like, "Holy crap, we need to do something about this right now." And yeah. I was like, okay. Oh no, this one was on my stomach. Sorry. On the bottom of my stomach. And I was like, okay. I was like, I had never even heard of what it was. I didn't know what it was. And he's like, "Have you showered every day?" And I'm like, "Dude, I'm sleeping in a van right now." Like, "No, I haven't." And he's like, "Well, you got staph infection. Basically it's like an infection. It's like a huge pocket of pus basically." Mm-hmm. And they cut my stomach open and drained like so much out of my stomach. And then he's like, "All right, I'm gonna pack it full of gauze," but they give you a shot, you know what I mean? So like, mm-hmm. you don't feel how much gauze is going in there.
Oh yeah.
So I didn't know that there was like this string gauze, you know.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "All right, try not to sweat for the next week or so." And I'm like, and he's like, "And then a couple of days, come back and let me get that gauze out." And I was like, "Dude, I'm 500 miles away tomorrow and I have to play a show tonight." And he's like, "We'll just do that." So I'm like,
"Yeah, try not to sweat on stage." Yeah.
I'm playing shows with like this half inch thing of gauze hanging out of my stomach, you know? And then I called the guy, gave me his number, and like, so I could like ask him what I needed to do and stuff. And 2 days later, he's like, "Hey, listen, this is probably going to be the worst pain you've ever felt in your life, but you need to pull that gauze out." Yeah. And I was like, "Okay." So we stop at a rest area, and I hold my stomach and I start pulling this gauze out, and there's 4 feet of this gauze packed in my stomach, and just blood and pus is falling out. And that was the worst experience on tour I think I've ever had in my ever. Yeah. It was disgusting. Sucked. And then as soon as I got home from tour, it came back, because once you get staph, it's like you're way more prone. And that was the one that's on my pant line, and that one I caught before it was bad. I just remembered what it looked like. The guy at the hospital tried to drain it, and then that night I woke up with like a pool of sweat, fevers, and I went back to the emergency room, and the doctor at nighttime was like, "Why did you try and drain that?" And I was like, "You guys did earlier." And that time I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. And
did you get sepsis?
No, I just had really bad staph infection.
Okay,
or MRSA.
Yeah, that's what I had.
And they had to, like, they put me on an IV antibiotic for two mm-hmm. weeks in the hospital, and I couldn't walk because the pain was so bad on my pant line. And yeah, dude, that was bad. That was a huge hospital bill that I never paid.
There you go. Shout out to the American health system. I had the same thing. I was working in a used record store, so my hands were always dirty, and I just thought I had like a pimple on my belt line. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to pop it. And then I was like, is this a spider bite? No, it turned out it was MRSA. And mm-hmm. I didn't know about MRSA. I'd heard about staph, but you don't really think about it much, right? So,
yeah.
But I got it, and it was the biggest thing. And they drained it. And I had to, every couple of days, I had to pack it myself and unpack it. It was so heinous. No. Dude. Yeah, dude. I had to pack it myself. But I can only imagine on tour when you're like with all these other dudes and like you're it's not like you can exactly get to like alcohol and gloves, and it's just like
wow. Yeah, it sucks.
Brutal.
But now Planet Fitness is a thing, so you can shower every single day.
Oh, there you go. Nice, man. Okay, well, end with a gnarly story, and now you can listen to a gnarly album. See, I brought it all back to the album, man, with synchronicity here. Body Snatcher Bleed Abide is out now. Right on, man. All right, dude, I'll see you on tour, and I'll come up and say hey.
All right, cool, dude.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.